refrain from causing a stink. That's a warning to the Biden administration delivered by the sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Kim Yo-jong's public statement is North Korea's first directed at the new American president. Jim Walsh is here and now, security analyst. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program. Hi, Jim. Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Peter.
And I want to read a little bit more of this statement from Kim Jong-un's sister. It said, "We take this opportunity to warn the new U.S. administration, trying hard to give off gunpowder smell in our land. If it wants to sleep in peace for coming 4 years, it had better refrain from causing a stink at its first step." Jim, what do you think? Why now? Why are we hearing this?
Well, first, I went back and I read the full text of the statement. And when you read it, you really have to admire North Korea's sheer devotion to two things, and you captured part of it: taunting and tortured metaphors. Right. It is far more fun to read a North Korean statement than the equivalent U.S. statement. But you asked why this is happening. I think there are two events that are related to the timing of the statement. First, the U.S. and South Korea are conducting a scaled-down version of war games, which is they traditionally do some war gaming each March. That was affected by President Trump's agreement with the North Korean leader about suspending tests.
Is that the is that the reference to the gunpowder smell, do you think?
Yeah, yes, but also it is reference to the second event that's happening this week in the region, and that is that the Biden National Security Team, their Secretary of Defense and their Secretary of State, are both in the region, both in Northeast Asia, for talks with allies in Seoul, in Tokyo. And of course, a major topic of conversation is going to be North Korea. So I think it's both those things.
Sure. And what do you think the significance of hearing from Kim Jong-un's sister is, and not himself, not Kim himself?
Well, yeah. Well, we saw this. The story of various members of the court is often one of, you know, ascent and decline and ascent and decline. So we have the sister who is a blood heir to the founder of South Korea, Kim Il-sung, and probably the most powerful family member that is not Kim, the ruling Kim. And she seemed to gain prominence, you'll remember, in the Tokyo Olympics, seemed to be gaining steam, people talking about her as a potential successor. And then after the failed summit in Hanoi, she seemed to have taken a hit, and we didn't see a lot of her. She's back, and she's basically speaking in the name of the chairman, which no one else other than her is really allowed to do. So I would say it's a sign that she's back.
Yeah. The White House yesterday, Press Secretary Jen Psaki confirmed that the Biden administration did, in fact, reach out recently to North Korea. Let's listen.
Diplomacy is always our goal. Our goal is to reduce the risk of escalation.
She also went on to say that the administration hasn't yet heard back from North Korea. So first of all, Jim, let's get into that. Your thoughts on the wisdoms of opening talks with North Korea?
Well, I think you have to talk to people. It's more important to talk to your enemies than your friends, because you don't want them going off doing something stupid. But what you put your finger on, Peter, is something very important. What is not in her message? So what's not in the message? She's not really, for that one reference to the president, she's not attacking, North Korea is not attacking the U.S. administration. It's not till the final couple of paragraphs that they even mention the U.S., and they don't mention Biden by name. No, instead, she focuses on the South Korean president and says all these terrible things about him. But it's a little like a losing basketball team. You can't fire the players, so you fire the coach. And North Korea wants to hold off on criticizing the new U.S. president, so it aims its fire instead at South Korea. I mean, in general, what I take away from this is really more restraint than anything else. I think they're being careful.
And maybe that's a good thing. But what is a realistic goal for any talks that could theoretically happen with the Biden White House? And I ask that because, of course, President Trump made a point to go out of his way to court Kim Jong-un. Not much came of it, and Kim doesn't want to give up his weapons.
Well, I think we're both, yes, but I also, I mean, it's the difference between what you want and what you need. So I'm sure Kim would like to hold on to all his weapons all the time and build more, but he is facing COVID, economic problems, sanctions, international isolation, and in his big New Year's Day speech, apologized for the poor performance of the economy. So I think that's why this is a little restrained. I mean, the worst threat they make in that statement is they might close a diplomatic office, which isn't exactly a nuclear test in my book. So I think we're in the in-between here. Both sides are sort of circling each other, trying to figure out what to do. Both can hurt each other. Neither wants to be hurt right now. And so we have a little bit of war games, but not much. And we have a little bit of criticism, but not much. But the curious thing is, as you point out, something only insiders know, North Korea has refused to negotiate. They've refused to talk ever since the failed Hanoi summit. So Biden would like to talk to them, even if just to make things a little more stable, but they aren't answering the phone. So we're in for a period of sort of betwixt in between, warily taking steps towards and away from each other over this next period of time, I think.
Jim Walsh, always enlightening to talk to you about North Korea. Here at Now Security Analyst, thank you so much.
Thank you.